Daddy never went to church on Sunday. He said, that's one thing I'll never do. But Mama never gave up. She said, one day you'll be sitting here beside of me and you. I can still hear Mama softly talking, her tears falling on her folded hands. So that Easter Sunday, Daddy walked in. That's when I began to understand. When Mama prayed, good things happen. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away when Mama prayed. Seventeen, and while I hit the bottle, doing anything I dang well pleased, burning down life's highway at full throttle, while Mama burned a candle on her knees. And one night I came home half sober. I saw Mama kneeling in the den. As I listened, she and Jesus talked it over, and I knew my restless days were about to end. 'Cause when Mama prayed, good things happened. When Mama prayed, lives were changed. Not much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away when Mama prayed. It isn't like every one of them got answered, but the times they weren't, it seems to me, were rare. You almost felt sorry for the devil, 'cause heaven knows he didn't have a prayer. When Mama prayed, much more than 5 foot tall, but mountains big and small crumbled all away when Mama prayed. Crumbled all away when Mama prayed. Thank you.
can stop the Lord Almighty? Who 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 can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion in the tribe of Judah.
Jesus' name, in Jesus' special little guest who has a Mother's Day song that she would like to sing for everybody. Come on up, Leah Jean.
Mommy, Mommy, I love you. Thanks for all the things you do. I love you and you love me. That's the way that it should be. Mommy, Mommy, I love you. Thanks for all the things you do. I love you, Mommy, my sweetie Mommy. You make me happy when I am sad. I want to tell you how much I love you. When I'm with you, I am so glad.
And now all the kids can be dismissed to Sunday school. And stand up and say hi to each other. Act like you like.
Is that on?
Yeah, it's on. You just push the button and hold it until the green turns off. Do you want this up here?
Yeah, because I got it. Holy moly. Oh, can they hear me? Can y'all hear me? Can you hear me? I can't see you either. Good morning, everybody. I drew the short straw for prayer today, so sorry, that wasn't very nice. But we are going to start with some prayer requests, but I just want everybody in this room to put your hands together for that young lady that stood up here. Okay, the building has got to be, this has got to be bigger because we got a new member because she is going to stand tall up here. She's amazing. Thank you, Leah. I want to start our prayer with all of us. Stand up. And we're going to bow our heads and pray for Jack. He's had a very major surgery, and we want him to heal. And I want you, in a moment of silence, to pray for Jack so that he knows that his community here is healing him. Okay. That probably wasn't a whole minute, but I'm so nervous that was probably 30 seconds, so I'm sorry. The prayers that we are going to lift today, and the first one is healing for Pastor Jack. Y'all can sit down if you want. Sorry. Or you can stand up. Doesn't matter. Healing for one of our friends, Randy Fluker, who used to be a member of our church. He's recently had two brain surgeries, and we are really praying strongly for him to repair. And praises for Benjamin, has a new job. Yay, Benjamin, go. That's wonderful. And Patty Miller, who just gave me hugs and praises this morning, she wants to thank God for the many blessings he has given to her as a mother and a grandmother. Thank and praise him for my grandson, who is now home. He has answered so many of my prayers. And I want to put a prayer out there to all the moms. I'm blessed to have two girls that I just love to death, and my goal is for them to come put their seats in this church. So you all pray with me. Someday I'll get them here in these seats. Also, my best friend Kim has found out she has cancer. It's very severe. They're going to go in Tuesday and do an emergency surgery. So just lift her in your prayers for me. And my future son-in-law is also in Christiana Hospital with a serious infection. So we're going to lift all those people in prayer, and we're going to bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that we come together today with you, with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for this blessed Mother's Day, for all of those in here today that are mothers, and of course, everyone in here has a mom. Some of us don't have our moms. Be with those as they are in our heart today and all the good memories that we have of them. Be with those who need healing that we've lifted. Be with Pastor Jack as he is healing. Be with those who are suffering from anxiety, from mental health issues, from all the crazy that's going on in our world today. Give us that peace in our heart that we know if we look to you and let it go to God, we will get through all of it. In Jesus' name, we pray. And especially be with Wes today. And I have three little tiny announcements, and then I'll shut up. most of you may or may not know Phil Meekins. He was one of our fellow pastors that passed away. And they're going to have a memorial service for him on Saturday, May 28th. This information will all be in the bulletin for you to go online and look up all the details. And our baby shower kickoff is starting today. The next week we will have a list. It's for the Pregnancy Center in Elkton, and we help raise funds and items that they need for the Pregnancy Center. We'll have a list out front next week if you want to make any contribution to that. And also, I'm going to have Carol come up for a minute to talk about Compassion Sunday, which we're rounding up today. And then after that, we'll watch all the rest of the announcements. The green buttons are ones are your gut.
Okay. So Compassion Sunday was actually last Sunday, but we're, again, rounding it up today. There's a couple of ways that you can support Compassion. You can sponsor a child, and I can hook you up with that through the link on our website and also through Compassion International. I sponsor a couple of kids. One of my kids' birthday is the date of my son who I lost 20 years ago. He has the same birthday. So that's really close to my heart. So you can pick kids by gender, by country, by dates, anniversaries, birthdays, okay? If you don't feel like you can sponsor a child for a whole year, it's $38 a month, $1.25 a day. How about your small group? My small group sponsors a child. We each have about a month and a half. So that's like $50 a year, okay? It takes a village. Your small group can be that village. Another way you can sponsor is we have a catalog. I have a few out here. I can also get it online. You can buy cows, goats, chickens, school supplies, hygiene needs, so you can help them have milk, eggs, cheese, and what they don't use in their family, they can sell. So that's income. And another way is we can just give a donation that goes into their disaster fund. The disaster fund helps with tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. Compassion swoops in, they bring food, they bring medical supplies, and they help to rebuild. So those are three ways that you can help. Jesus said that we're to be the hands and feet. We can't all physically be the hands and feet, but we can supply the hands and feet. You know, he also said, do to the least of these. So let's do the least of these. Let's be the village. So we're blessed. Let's bless others. Thank you.
I'm on now. There we go. Well, good morning. And you could probably tell because I forgot to turn the button on. It's a little bit shaky up here, but you're a good group. And I thank Jack for giving me the opportunity to share the message with you today. Now, I was going to start today with thanking the mothers, but I think that's already been done. I don't know how you add to what Leah just did, but I got this scripture from Proverbs that talks about the women in our lives. And I thought it'd be good to read that today, to recognize the women of our church and the women that do so much for our community. So it's Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 31. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And I think that's quite fitting for all the ladies of this church that do so much. And all the areas you just saw on the announcements that this church supports. So, as you know, now we're in the middle of this church-wide study on prayer and the Lord's Prayer. Now, quite a few weeks ago when Jack asked me if I would preach today, I told him yes. And then we decided we would do this church-wide study on the Lord's Prayer. So in preparation for today, I've prayed a lot to God, Jesus, and the Spirit, and I've asked a lot of my friends to do the same thing. Lift me up in prayer for today. So you can see it took a lot of prayer to be able to give a message on prayer. But I think the prayer is the foundation of our Christian life. It's where we need to start and where we need to stay. So in this week's study of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, this is the prayer petition when we ask the Lord to provide for us what we need, our daily bread, our meals, for healing of others, for whatever we might need to happen in our lives, in all our different trials and struggles. And then we ask also that God would work in other people's lives in these same areas. And we ask that our church would be supported by Christ and the church worldwide in all that we do, that we can be His people doing His work. So give us our daily bread is not just that plea for physical nourishment, but also for spiritual nourishment. And Jesus often went off to pray, and it's not recorded often what he prayed for, but I can imagine it was to ask the Father for that physical strength, for the spiritual comfort and strength that he would need to carry on his ministry. And since we are studying about prayer and Jesus prayed so often, I thought, what better way to do it than go through some of the scriptures where we see Jesus praying. So today's going to be a lot of scripture, but I figured, like I said, just take and let Jesus set the example for what we should do. And we're going to start in Matthew 14, verse 19, where Jesus fed the 5,000. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. See, Jesus blessing this bread provided a meal for so many people that they needed that physical nourishment. But I believe it also provided a spiritual nourishment for his disciples. For after he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, they were able to continue to give it to so many people. They could see a miracle happening right before their eyes that had to strengthen them physically. And we read that so we're strengthened by what Jesus could do. But then on the evening of the Passover feast, Jesus prayed for many different things. And three of them are covered in Luke chapter 22. And the first one we see is in verses 17 and 19, where Jesus blesses the meal of the Passover for the physical and spiritual strength of his disciples. A blessing that would become what we now use as our communion service. And this scripture reads, "After taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Then in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.' Next in that evening, Jesus tells Simon that he's going to pray for him. Because Satan had asked to sift all of his disciples. So Jesus, when he asked for the prayer for his disciples, and Simon in particular, it was because he knew Simon would be tempted and tested that night. And that reads, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you, just as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." So in this verse, Jesus asked that Simon's faith would remain, that even though he was tempted and tried and seemed to fail, that his spirit would be renewed, that his strength would be renewed, and his faith in Christ would be renewed. And in that strength and in that power, he could then strengthen his brother disciples and all others. But I said, did you notice in here that Jesus said that all of the disciples are going to be sifted as wheat? And he uses Simon as that person, that rock, that would be able to go and then strengthen his brothers. Then finally, on that evening, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives, and he prays again for his disciples, and then he withdraws away from them for himself. And that reads, "On reaching the place, Jesus said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples." See, the first thing that Jesus does in this section of Scripture is tell the disciples to go and pray for themselves. And then he goes off to pray for himself and his disciples. So Jesus sets that example for us that it is okay to go to the Father, to ask for things for other people, to ask for strength for yourself, to ask that God would be with you in all of your troubles. But it always needs to be in line with the Father's will. We ask today, like the song said, we ask in Jesus' name. And again, that has to be in that line with Jesus' character, what God's purpose, what Jesus' purpose is for your life and the work he has created for you to do. And often, as Jesus prayed here that the cup be taken from him, sometimes it's not. And then we need to ask for that strength to be able to carry that cup and then pray for the strength to continue on with what you're to do. And Paul gives us an example of that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, where he talks about he was given a thorn in the flesh. And three times he prayed to God that that thorn would be taken away. God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is sufficient for you." So sometimes that's the prayer we need to say and what we need to do. And In John 14, 13 and 14, Jesus says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So you may ask me anything in my name and I will do it." And like I said, you need to, when you ask in Jesus' name, it's in what he would have you do, what God has created for you to do in your life. Because we all have a part in this body, a part in this church, and we're to carry it out. And that Spirit will give you the strength that you can do what he's asked you to do. So when you do ask, it needs to be in line with God's will. Then in Philippians 4, 6, and I found it interesting today, that was one of the devotions that Emily and I did, was this little same scripture. "Do not be anxious," which kind of fits today for me, "about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." See, last week we studied in the Lord's Prayer, adoration. Your prayers need to start with that praise and thanksgiving to God. Praise him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's done in your life, what he's done in other people's lives. And it's that praise and that thanksgiving that touches your heart, prepares you to be able to have the faith to know that when you ask in Jesus' name, the Father hears and he does answer prayer. And then in Matthew 5, 44, Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. This is one of the tougher ones that I think a lot of us struggle with. Often it takes a little while to be able to pray for that person that's your enemy or persecutes you. So, like Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies and those who persecute us. This is just one of the 69 times that pray is mentioned in the New Testament. And these verses cover many subjects, too many to cover today. So maybe you look pray up in your phone or your Bible and then do a study on pray and look at all the different ways it talks about praying and how to pray. See, because these verses cover a lot of subjects, when and where to pray. Like the Pharisee that stands out on a street corner and is so loud and trying to be seen. But Jesus tells us to go into a secret room and pray. David tells us that he prays on his bed day and night. You pray where you are. And then he tells us how and how not to pray. And again, like the Pharisee, being loud just to be seen, to have people think that he is a religious person, as opposed to the tax collector that's around the corner and in the shadows and just says, "God, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me." And he also covers, you know, who to pray for, what to pray for, and just so many different topics. I spent probably a little bit too much time just going through them to figure out what to put in today's sermon. Now, in the first week of this study, we talked about why we should pray. And that was, the first week was, why pray? And who prays? And it, if you remember, it listed all the different people that pray. Even sometimes people that don't believe in Jesus pray. And then last week we heard about the adoration, praising God for all he's done, remembering what he has done for you, and reminding him of what he has done and what he has promised. And this week we learn about petition and asking the Lord to provide our daily bread. And I at times often wonder, with all this praying and all this praising and everything that goes on, often they don't seem to be answered. And you can get a little frustrated in that. Well, Pete touches a little bit on that in this week's lesson, if you're doing the prayer course. And then in week 5, he has a whole week on unanswered prayer. So that'll be covered then. But then why do I keep on praying? Like I said earlier, because when I do get by myself and I start to pray and thank God for what he's done in my life and all that he's done, and remember the blessings I have, you get that peace inside you. And then it strengthens your faith in the Lord, strengthens you that you know that he will answer and can answer. So I thought now I would share part of my story, how I even wound up here today. And it goes back quite a few years. Matter of fact, 20 years ago, when I met Dennis Christie, when he came to work for the church Emily and I attended at the time as youth director, pastor. And after a few weeks of meeting him and talking with him, he shared with us one night that Psalm 34:8 was one of his favorite verses. And that is, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man that takes refuge in him." Then through the years, as I read this psalm and studied it, because that verse became what some people call it their life verse. I don't know whether that's quite true, but it's one that touches my heart. So I continued to study Psalm 34. And I realized it was more than just God's word that was good. It was all that we do for God and his kingdom on this earth and how that affects my life and our lives when we do that work. See, taste and see is part of our relationship with our Father God. And the more of that goodness you taste, the more you want. So when David wrote this psalm, he was in hiding from his own people. He was hiding with Abimelech, the Philistine. And he was acting insane. So in the middle of David fearing for his life and in hiding, he writes this psalm. And going through it, as I prepare for the day, I realized it's in line in structure with the Lord's Prayer. Because in verses 1 to 3, you see praise, adoration, and worship of the Lord. David starts where we've been told to start, right there with recognizing what God has done. And he writes, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And as Jack's spoken about quite a few times in the last few weeks, was it's corporate. You see, they're all us, we. It's not just David praying for himself. It's that people will see that goodness of God. And when he says extol the Lord here, extol in this content means praise the Lord enthusiastically. And if you've read scripture, you know when David praised the Lord, sometimes he was really loud and kind of flamboyant at times. And so in saying this, while he's in hiding, he's going to praise the Lord. I believe that's because he could taste the goodness of that God he was talking about here and all that he had done before him before in killing lions and killing bears, killing giants, leading the army of Israel against God's enemies. David had seen that goodness of God work in his life so many times. That's why he can say this. And that's why he believes this, because he has seen God work in his life. Then, like we learned in the first week of this study, we should always pray and worship with others, like I said. And that's what David again says here. Worship the Lord and let others worship with you. In verse 4, David writes, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And as we said, he was in hiding. fearing for his own life from his own people. And he's able to write these words, that when he sought the Lord answered him and helped take away those fears. See, and I believe it's when you see God answer those prayers when you're fearful for coming up in front of a group of people, then he does answer. He does strengthen you. And then you can share that faith and that belief with other people, because it is by the Lord's strength, by that strength of the Spirit, that I'm able to stand up here today and give this message. And it's in that, when you're up here and you confess that God's help in your life has helped you be here, and people see that and recognize it in your confession, they know it can be true in their lives as they see other people do it. Now, an example of God answering prayer in Emily's my life happened back on May 26th of 2008. We had a fire at our house in Earlville. And after we had gone outside and saw the smoke coming up, a neighbor, Andrew, grabbed a ladder and a hose and went up on our roof, and he ripped off the roof vent. And as he sprang water into the house to help try to control the fire, where Emily and I are down near the back door, and we heard him say in not so kind words, "Lord, you have," no, he didn't say Lord, he said, "You got to stop this wind. It's just too strong." And with that, Emily stops, and Emily being her, she was more concerned about our neighbor's house catching on fire because the wind blowing that way than she was ours. So it says she stops at the back door and prays, "Lord, you have to stop the wind." Well, later that day, that evening, and we're talking with Andrew, he said, "You know, the strangest thing happened." He said, "I was up there spraying that water, and that wind was just blowing so bad." And he said, "And then all of a sudden, it kind of came from this way, and it came from that way, and it swirled around, and then stopped." Emily said to him, "I'll tell you why that happened." She said, "Because when I heard you say this wind has to stop, I stopped and I prayed to the Lord that the wind would stop." Now, he doesn't always answer prayer that quickly, but in this incident, the Lord stopped that wind from blowing the embers toward our neighbor's house. So we were able to kind of witness to Andrew right there in God answering prayers. So, and then verse 5 says, "Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame." Now, I imagine that you've probably noticed that in a lot of Christians, a lot of people, you know, that profess a faith in the Lord, that there's a aura about them. There is a glow about them. And I believe that's when you have tasted what the Lord has done for you, you get that radiance in you. It shines through your personality. And people can see it and notice it. And that's what I want people to see in my life, is that the Lord is in me and with me at all times. But then he writes in verses 6 and 7 that this poor man called, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. See, in verse 6, David humbles himself before the Lord, confesses that he's done wrong, and then asks the Lord to deliver him and save him. And the Lord does. But it starts with that confession, with that recognition of who God is. So when he says to humble yourself and call out to God, that's what we need to do. And he puts it a different way in Psalm 51, verse 17, where he says, "A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." See, it's that heart that's for God and broken to the world broken so it can be open to what the Lord has for you. And then verse 7 speaks about spiritual warfare. And it's something Jack has talked about in the last few weeks, that you have that angel beside you, around you. So besides that spirit living in you, you've got an angel around you. And see, it's that peace, that indwelling of the Spirit that can make you radiant so people can see that you do trust in the Lord. And then, of course, there's verse 8 that has become one of my favorite verses. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. See, taste and see is an ongoing process. And for me, it's something that once I tasted it, I can't get enough. It's like that first nacho or the first little handful of caramel popcorn. Once you've tasted it, you have a desire to taste more. So it's like when you see the beauty of God's creation in the mountains, in the sky, in a tree, that you know that God is a God of creation and goodness. Where it's like when you see an open piece of ground with nothing but a couple of 2x4s and wood over it and a tarp to make a makeshift church. And you watch that piece of ground change and transform into a school and a church, like it has in our sister church in Haiti. When you trust in God and see that goodness in him through your work, see, because it takes us to work with God to have that happen. You get a taste for God that just stays in your heart. Now, it doesn't have to be for a foreign mission in Haiti. It can be any one of these missions you saw on the advertisements on our bulletin today on what this church is involved with. And I imagine the Lord has talked to many of you, has tugged at your heart, and pointed to you where you should taste and see that he is good. Now, I think most of you know my taste is for Haiti and Congo. And again, like I said, once you've tasted that mission, that help, it's a taste you can't get enough of. Matter of fact, it's just a taste that drives you to do more in that area. So this is a food that you can feast on and not be full. A food that will satisfy you and leaves you even wanting more. Now, so this is the food, it's the taste that Jesus was talking about in John 4, 31 and through 34 with his encounter at the woman at the well. So, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." See, Jesus' food, his taste was to do what the Father had sent him to do. And I believe that Jesus never got full of doing his Father's work. He was always looking for more to do. And then when Satan tempted him to change stones into bread, in Matthew 4, 3 and 4, Jesus replied that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So with this statement, you can see that taste and see does also mean that tasting the word of God, knowing the word of God, and knowing what that word can and does do, and to use those words for you and for other people in defense and offense against Satan is an important part of your life. Prayer is that cornerstone that we build our faith on. So with all of this, and it, when you pray and when you ask the Father to give you your daily bread and the bread others need, and as much as we ask the Father to assist us, to help us, we need to do all we can to help in any way, to move that work along. See, finally in verse 15, there's a promise to those who worship and praise God, who try their best to lead a righteous life and to do the work God has created them for. See, doing the work of our Father is being filled. And it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears and his ears are attentive to their cry. See, God does hear your prayer. He watches you. He sees what you need. And he only asks that you ask him to provide. So taste and see if the Lord isn't good.
Like a covenant of old, your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Praise.
Now, in the strength of that spirit, did I get turned? Go out this week praising God and thanking Him for all that He's done in your life. Going out and to see where He's called you, what He's called you to do, and just do the work our Father has created us to do. And we just thank you for that. Have a good week. Enough for.